Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. A strong faith in Krishna consciousness, that one should be elevated to the highest perfection of life, is called Vyavasayatmaka, intelligence. The Chaitanya Charitamrita states, Shraddha Shabde Vishwasa Kahe Sudrida Nishchai Krishna Bhakti Koile Sarva Karma Krita Hai. Faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. When one is engaged in the duties of Krishna consciousness, he need not act in relationship to the material world with obligations to family traditions, humanity, or nationality. Fruitive activities are the engagements of one's reactions from past good or bad deeds. When one is awake in Krishna consciousness, he need no longer endeavor for good results in his past activities. When one is situated in Krishna consciousness, all activities are on the absolute plane, for they are no longer subject to the dualities like good and bad. The highest perfection of Krishna consciousness is renunciation of the material conception of life. This state is automatically achieved by progressive Krishna consciousness. The resolute purpose of a person in Krishna consciousness is based on knowledge. Vasudeva Saravamiti Samahatma Sadurlava, by which one comes to know perfectly that Vasudeva Krishna is the root of all manifested causes. As water on the root of a tree is automatically distributed to the leaves and the branches, in Krishna consciousness one can render the highest service to everyone, namely self, family, society, country, humanity, etc. If Krishna is satisfied by one's actions, then everyone will be satisfied. Service in Krishna consciousness is, however, best practiced under the able of the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master who knows the nature of the student and who can guide him to act in Krishna consciousness. As such, to be well versed in Krishna consciousness, one has to act firmly and obey the representative of Krishna, and one should accept the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master as one's mission in life. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur instructs us in his famous prayers for the spiritual master as follows. Yasya prasadad bhagavat prasado yasya prasadha nagati kutopi yayam stuvam stasya yasya strisandhyam Vande Guru Sri Charanaravindam. By the satisfaction of the spiritual master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes satisfied. And by not satisfying the spiritual master, there is no chance of being promoted to the plane of Krishna consciousness. I should therefore meditate and pray for his mercy three times a day and offer my respectful obeisances unto him, my spiritual master. The whole process, however, depends on perfect knowledge of the soul beyond the conception of the body, not theoretically but practically. When there is no longer chance for sense gratification manifested in fruitive activities, one who is not firmly fixed in mind is diverted by various types of fruitive acts. Om. Can everyone hear? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has commented in regard to this verse that determination comes when we make the desire of Guru our life and soul. Krishna is explaining that those who are on this path are resolute in purpose and their aim is one. those who are not on this path, their intelligence is many-branched. Strength comes when there is focus on what is supporting our lives. Just like a ship, when a ship is on the sea, where there are many waves, sometimes it is stormy, sometimes it is quite peaceful. Sometimes during a storm, the ship has to stop and put its anchor to the ground below. That anchor gives a focus point of security to the ship. But when that anchor is drawn, then the waves can toss the ship in any direction, and the ship has no power to protect itself. So similarly, we must keep our anchor firmly fixed in our faith in Guru and Krishna. Then, despite the multifarious circumstances that come in front of our life, we remain steady, we remain fixed. So Krishna is explaining here that that anchor, that determination, that resolution of purpose is the essential ingredient for advancing in devotional service. After all, Maya is everywhere in this material existence. And in everything, she is inviting us to divert our attention away from God. Daivi heshu guna mayi mama maya duratiya mama evam yekapajante maya meta tarantite. Maya is very powerful. In fact, Krishna says she is impossible to overcome unless you surrender to him. What does it mean to surrender to him? It means to have that resolute determination that, Krishna, your will is my will. Let your will be done. And of course, the will of Krishna comes through the spiritual master. Our connection to Krishna comes through the instruction, the merciful order of Gurudev. So therefore, if we fix our mind, if we fix our senses in executing that instruction, that is the anchor that keeps us stable even in this ocean of material existence. And when the storms come in the form of crises in our life, in the form of opposition from our enemies, in the form of opposition from our friends and God brothers, in the form of disappointments, in the form of sensual temptations, in the form of apparent confusions and bewilderments that come before us in life, we always remain steady and undisturbed. Otherwise, if we do not have this fixed purpose, we are easily bewildered. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai kamani saravasha ahankara vimudatma karata ham iti manyate. That the conditioned soul, being bewildered, always being bewildered by the three modes of material nature, thinks himself to be the doer of his activities, which are actually simply being carried out by nature. So the greatest disturbance in our spiritual progress is when we become bewildered. And that is how Maya is constantly trying to take our attention away from Krishna. If she can bewilder us, then that resolute determination cannot be there. And without that resolute determination, she can easily draw our mind, draw our senses, draw our intelligence away, away from Guru and Krishna. When we are bewildered, then naturally we are subjected to considering so many other alternatives. Therefore, the basis of Krishna consciousness is faith. And faith is the result of determination. Faith is not a cheap thing. We have to cultivate determination. I remember in 1972, Srila Prabhupada at New Vrindavan was describing to us the importance of determination in a devotee. And one person asked, raised his hand and said, Srila Prabhupada, what if we just do not have any determination for devotional service? And Srila Prabhupada gave a very famous answer. He said, if you have no determination, then you are an animal. The difference between a human being and an animal is a human being has determination. An animal simply follows the dictations of the mind and senses. But a human being has that that facility to have a determined will to do what is right, despite the temptations of the mind and the senses. Krishna says in the third chapter of Gita, one must conquer the lower self with the higher self. One must conquer the mind with the intelligence. And what is the intelligence? The intelligence is the word of Guru and the word of Krishna. Outside of that, we have no real intelligence. In the school of bhakti, intelligence means simply to accept the word of Krishna and the word of Guru as the authority in my life. What was Arjuna's intelligence? He was very bewildered, was he not? As long as his own mind was trying to figure out what is the right course of action. His intelligence was simply to accept Krishna. His intelligence was whatever Krishna told him. His intelligence was not what he figured out. So in spiritual life, our intelligence is not what we create. Our intelligence is what we accept. When we accept the word of God from the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, those words are our guiding force in life. But Maya is giving so many other alternatives. Therefore, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has said that this resolute determination means simply to make the order of Guru your life and soul. To have that faith. Rupa Goswami explains the sublime faith that a devotee must have is that if I simply surrender to Krishna, my life will be perfect. All desires will be fulfilled. There will be nothing that remains to be accomplished in my life. Prabhupada here gives a wonderful definition. Faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. And that sublime something that Prabhupada is talking about is something that is beyond our sense perception. The great acharyas generally do not perform miracles. Because for the sincere class of men, miracles are more a disturbance than an asset in the development of one's devotional qualities. Because if your faith is in hearing the word of God, then you have faith in what is beyond your sense perception. And God is beyond your sense perception. If you want to understand God, you have to have faith in what is beyond your sense perception. Correct? But if you are in need of some physical proof that you can witness with your mind and senses to confirm your faith, then your faith is constantly being restricted and limited to what you can perceive, to what is within the purview of your sense gratification or your sense perception. If someone says that I am representing God, and I can prove it. Here, I can create a murdanga. I can create a flower. I can walk on the waters. Then for everything he says, you will be depending on some visual proof. And that is a limitation. Therefore, Lord Jesus, in the Bible, it is described, he performed so many miracles for the very less intelligent class of people. But then he went to one, came to one village, and they did not ask him for any miracles. They just asked him to instruct. And he spoke, and he was so pleased. He said, these people, he said, they do not need these signs to believe in me. He appreciated that they were most sincere. So our faith has to be in what is beyond our sense perception. I remember one time, I was in West Virginia University regularly lecturing, Morgantown, West Virginia. And one man who was getting his master's degree in medical technology, he was becoming very serious about devotional service. But he was a scientist. He was trained as a scientist in the colleges of America for many, many years. And he was a very, very scrutinizing, analytical, intelligent man. And he was reading the fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, in which Shukadeva Goswami is describing the phenomena of material nature very much different than our modern scientists describe. So he was very bewildered. How could this be true? I cannot accept that this is true. And if I do not accept even one part of the Bhagavatam, I have to reject the whole thing. He came. What happened is I was out of town, and he went to the temple president, and he was completely confused. He was already chanting 16 rounds, following the four regular principles. When he read this, he stopped chanting. He was ready to just, he was crying. He was weeping. I thought I found a spiritual movement I could surrender to. And here I'm finding a conflict that I cannot accept. Because the Bhagavatam, if it is actually the word of God, I have to accept every part of it in toto. I can't accept some and not some not. Otherwise, that is not God. If I cannot accept this, I have to throw out the rest. So when I came, we spent the whole night talking. I said, let us go to New Britain. He was ready to just, he was crying, he was weeping. I thought I found a spiritual movement I could surrender to. And here I'm finding a conflict that I cannot accept. Because the Bhagavatam, if it is actually the word of God, I have to accept every part of it in toto. I can't accept some and not some not. Otherwise, that is not God. If I cannot accept this, I have to throw out the rest. So when I came, we spent the whole night talking. The Srimad Bhagavatam is discussing what is beyond your sense perception. And the scientists can only explain what is within their sense perception. Now, this is a test of your faith. Are you going to put your faith in the sadhus, in the parampara system, in the shastra, and in the word of God, or are you going to put your faith in the scientists who are in this material field of sense perception and cannot even conceive of anything beyond? If you need for the scientist to confirm whatever God says, then what is your faith in God? Yes, I believe Krishna is correct. I believe the scripture is correct because the scientists have proved it. Do you require the confirmation of the materialists? Sometimes certain lecturers, when some very, very inconceivable explanation of the scripture is there, they try to justify how actually this is perfectly in accordance with what the scientists have discovered themselves. Huh? You must choose who is the authority. Your faith has to be in what is sublime beyond your senses, beyond your sense perception. And this faith is the basis of our spiritual advancement. Because this faith keeps us secure in our convictions in a world that is plagued by doubt, suspicion, and bewilderment. And how to preserve our faith? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, by making the order of your guru your life and soul. To be resolute in purpose. Resolute. Fixed. I want to be Krishna conscious. I want to serve my guru. And you have to have such intense and strong fine tuning to that goal in life that nothing else can deviate you or disturb you from that. That is what is required to be Krishna conscious. It is described in Mahabharata that Arjuna, Yudhisthira, Nakula, Bhima, Sahadev, they were all the disciples of Dronacharya in the military field. So Dronacharya, one time he wanted to test them. So after completing their education, he put an imitation bird in the tree, high in the tree. And he told the five of them that, I want you to take your arrow and pierce the eye of that bird. So first Yudhisthira came up. And Drona was standing next to him. He said, now take your bow and take your arrow and aim it toward that bird. Yudhisthira aimed. Drona said, what do you see? He said, I see the bird. Do you see anything else? He said, I see the leaves and the branches of the tree. Yudhisthira said, go away. Dronacharya said, go away. Yudhisthira went away. Then Drona called Bhima. Drona said, take your aim. Bhima took his aim. Drona said, what do you see? He said, I see the bird. Do you see anything else? He said, I see all of you. I see the tree. See the branches, see the leaves. Drona said, go away. And then he called for Arjuna. He told Arjuna, take your aim. He took his aim. What do you see? I see the bird. He said, I see the eye of the bird. Do you see anything else? He said, no. He said, do you see the trees? He said, I don't see the trees. He said, do you see the bird? He said, no, I don't see the bird. He said, do you see the head of the bird? He says, I do not see the head of the bird. I only see the eye. Drona said, then you shoot. And Arjuna pierced the eye of the bird. If you want to be Krishna conscious, you have to become like this. If you're looking any other direction or seeing anything else, you are not qualified. This is what is called resolute purpose and determination. This is what is called fixing your mind on the order of Guru and Krishna. Nothing is impossible for one who has this faith in Guru and Krishna. This is the path. Those who follow are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. Our goal is the lotus feet of Krishna, which is coming through the instruction of Gurudev. Guru means heavy. That means everyone in the world has various opinions. But Guru's opinion outweighs everyone else's opinion. Huh? This is what it means when Guru is heavy. It doesn't mean Guru is big in size. It means that Guru's word. Guru doesn't mean a physical body. Shabda Brahma. Our parampara is a parampara of sound vibration, not physical bodies. The physical body is simply the instrument in which the sound vibration comes through. Just like if there is a particular radio station that is broadcasting a certain message, whether you have a Sony tape recorder, or whether you have a Panasonic tape recorder, or whether you have a National tape recorder, or whether you have a... what other tape recorders do you have? Huh? Philips, even if you have Philips tape recorder. Whether it's a cheap tape recorder, or whether it's a radio, or whether it's a very, very exquisite, expensive radio. If the message is coming through, that is what is important. We are not concerned with the form or the shape, as we are the message. This is parampara. The parampara is... The guru can be white color, the guru could be black color, the guru can be big, the guru could be small, the guru could be a woman, the guru could be a man. The spirit of parampara is that the message, the sound is the same. And that sound vibration is the word of God, which is coming through the transparent via media of the spiritual master. Guru Sadhu Shastra is the means by which the sound vibration of God's word is entering into the domain of material existence. So when we fix our consciousness on the instruction of Gurudev, when we fix all of our assets in life on the instruction of Gurudev, when our faith is exclusively in the order of Gurudev, then we understand what it means that Guru is heavy. Krishna is heavier than the heaviest, and his words are none different than him. That is why we say Guru is heavy, because he is only repeating the word of God. Guru is heavy, and Krishna is heavy, but he is outweighed by submissive, humble devotion. Huh? There's a beautiful story that when Krishna was living in Dwaraka, Narada Muni came, and he decided that Krishna and he should travel to some distant destination. And of course, the queens of Dwaraka were very unhappy with this. So Rukmini, Satyabhama, they were saying, no, 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 please do not take Krishna away. So they said that so Narada Muni and Krishna decided that if they could give Narada Muni, what was it, Krishna's weight in gold? Huh? Equal gold, then Narada Muni would take the gold and they could keep Krishna. So Satyabhama took all of her golden ornaments. Krishna was sitting on one side of the scale. And he put all of her ornaments on the other side of the scale. And Krishna was more heavy. Because after all, what can outweigh God? When we say Guru is heavy, Guru is the sound vibration of God's word, because God is heavy, Guru is heavy. so they could not. Satyabhama was very sad. How will we keep Krishna? All my ornaments, all my gold, and the scale is not even going the slightest bit up on Krishna's side. Rukmini came and she put one tulsi leaf on the other side of the scale, and the whole scale went whoop, and Krishna went way up in the air. What does this mean? That bhakti is the only power that can conquer God. We can purchase Krishna with bhakti. Similarly, Guru is heavy, but devotion to Guru can even purchase the mercy, the divine grace of the spiritual master. So this must be our determination. This must be our resolute purpose in life, the mission of Gurudev. And we cannot calculate according to material considerations. We must calculate according to the transcendental vision of the divine authorities of Krishna consciousness. And if our faith is in this way, and our determination is in this way, and our mind and our senses are determinedly fixed in this way, then the path of Krishna consciousness is the path that we are following in life, and the result is guaranteed. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyajindam namaskaru mame vaishasi satyante pratijani priyashu. One who with this determination always thinks of me, becomes my devotee, worships me, and offers homage unto me, such a person will come to me without fail. So Krishna consciousness is not cheap. The price of Krishna consciousness is this determination, this faith. And really, that is the only price. That is the only cost. Is there any questions? This is what it means to conquer the lower self with the higher self. You must act according to your intelligence. This is how our faith is developed. Pure faith is a very advanced platform. We should not think we are on such an advanced platform. We have to cultivate that seed of faith to bring it to that advanced platform. And this is the process. That we have to accept things favorable for the development of that faith and reject those things unfavorable. We must associate with persons who help cultivate that faith, and we should try to avoid as far as possible the association of those persons who disturb that faith. Huh? And in our actions of life, we must act with that determination based on intelligence. That Guru is saying this, but my mind and senses are saying so many other things. Right? That means you don't have complete faith. If you had complete faith, your mind and senses would be perfectly united with the word of Guru. Right? That's what you're saying. There's a conflict of interest in your own mind. So determination means whatever my mind and senses tell me, I will do what Guru wants. I will live for that. Huh? When Arjuna was fixing his vision on the eye of that bird, does not mean that all those other things did not exist. They were there. But he was keeping his mind fixed on only that. That is an austerity. That is a tapasya. That is a sacrifice. So many other beautiful things are all around in the forest. So many charming items within the atmosphere. But he was only concerned with that bird's eye, because that was the order of his guru. Huh? So this conflict of interest, the guru wants this, but my mind and senses and everyone else is proposing so many other alternatives. That means there must be a sacrifice. That means there must be tapasya. That I will put aside all these other things for the one real thing. My service to Guru and Krishna. Huh? So this determination is a sacrifice. And a sacrifice is not a sacrifice if it's easy, if there's no other alternatives. Huh? What makes a sacrifice is there are so many other alternatives. There are so many other temptations. But you put them all aside and focus only on this. Now that everyone has the power to do. That is what Prabhupada meant when he said, if you don't have determination, it means you're an animal. Human life is meant for tapasya. Tapodivyam putrake yena sattvam sudyadyasyam brahma sokyam tvanantam. That now you have attained this human life, it is meant for tapasya. And what is that tapasya? This determination. Your mind may be telling you so many things. That means you may not have complete faith. But you are determined that this is the direction I will go. Huh? And by that constant practice, with this determination, gradually that faith becomes very strong, becomes very real. And through that process, adosha-dhāta-tā-sādhu-saṅgo-tā-bhajana-kriyā-tato-nārtav-rinu-vitti-śyā-tato-niṣṭa-ruchi-stitā. Rupa Goswami says, at the beginning there's a little faith. Adosha-dhā. From that faith, Krishna directs you to the association of devotees. In that association, you hear from them. Through hearing, your faith gets stronger. As your faith develops, bhajana-kriyā, you accept the principles of devotional service, you accept a spiritual master, you obey his instruction. Then your faith grows from that process. And as your faith grows, anarthanavritti, all the unwanted ideas and thoughts within your mind are cleansed out. And then nishta, then your faith becomes strong, very strong, unshakable, resolute. Huh? So in the process, it is a tapasya. The final result, it is not a tapasya, it is a higher taste. It is simply sweet and pleasing to make the Guru's order your life and soul. There's nothing else that even is the slightest bit desirable to you except the pleasure of Guru and Krishna. But in the beginning, it is a tapasya. It is a sacrifice. To willingly, voluntarily, put everything else aside for that. Any other questions? All the great saints are here tonight. Bhakti Yoga Maharaj, Vrindavan Maharaj, Devamrita Prabhu, Satyavrata. There's no more questions? Yes? Yeah. How to put false ego in the back seat. Actually, the real question is how to throw him out of the car. Because even if he's in the back seat, there's such something called a back seat driver. The same process. If you don't listen, it is said if an unwanted guest comes, do not give him any food, and he will leave, right? If an unwanted guest comes and you feed him sumptuously, he's going to stay the rest of his life. Why should I go home? This is better. Right? But if an unwanted guest comes and you give him no food, he'll leave. He'll think, I'll go somewhere else. There's nothing here for me. Huh? So this is how we also get rid of our false ego. As long as you're serving him, as long as you're serving your ego will... You feed the ego by listening to it. This is the food for the ego, submission. So whether the ego is in the front seat or the back seat, as long as you're listening to its advice, he'll stay right in your car. Huh? He'll force you to drive him wherever he wants to go. But if you don't listen to him, then he will have to leave, sooner or later. Huh? And how do we avoid listening? To make our order of guru our life and soul. And we have no other object in our life to fulfill except the order of guru. Huh? Then if you are always on that platform, your false ego will starve. He will say, stop the car, I'm going somewhere else. Huh? That answer your question? Actually, this one verse answers every question. Whatever question you ask, we can answer the question with this verse. Because with resolute determination, when our aim is one, when we make the order of guru our life and soul, every other problem is solved by this simple process. Every question can be answered, not theoretically, but through realization, if we simply apply this principle alone. Huh? It is the essence of spiritual life. Srila Madhavendra Puri prayed, my Lord Sri Krishna, he said, since I have surrendered to you, my family members think I'm mad. The society thinks I'm crazy. My nation has rejected me. People laugh at me. But I do not care what any opinion is, because you are satisfied, you are pleased with my service. That is resolute determination. That means aim is one.
Thank you very much.